wonders turn my joy into greed. I've been beat down, back down, by myself on the ground. Thought I would lose my mind. Then I opened up the Bible and found I could rely on Ephesians chapter 1. God says I'm blessed, I'm chosen, I'm adopted, I'm favored, redeemed. Now I'm forgiven. Makes me want to sing, I'm a child of the King. And now I'm really living. By the blood of the Lamb, I know who I am. God said it and it's already done. And I remind him again of Ephesians chapter 1. Amen. I don't mean to sound proud, cause you know I've been down when the struggle almost took me out. But I found that God was working in the middle of a hurting, so I trust him and I don't have a doubt. His fear taking away, making a chain, breaking life, changing power's gonna see me through. So I'm never gonna worry, even when he doesn't hurry, cause I know what the Lord can do. God says I'm blessed, I'm chosen, I'm adopted, I'm favored, redeemed, now I'm forgiven. Makes me wanna sing, I'm a child of the King, and now I'm really living. By the blood of the Lamb, I know who I am. God said it and it's already done. When the devil runs in, I remind him again of Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm adopted, I'm forgiven. Deemed God's favorite, and now I'm really living. God says I'm blessed, I'm chosen, adopted, and favored, redeemed. Now I'm forgiven. Makes me want to sing, I'm a child of the King, and now I'm really living. By the blood of the Lamb, I know who I am. God said it, and it's already done. When the devil runs in, I remind him again. I'll open up my Bible and know I can rely on Ephesians chapter 1.
The youth is going to sing for y'all this morning. And now for this, this song for us is kind of an oldie, but for y'all it might kind of be a new song, but it's a good song. And so we have the words. I gave Teresa like 30 minutes to get it together this morning. I gave her plenty of time. And so I was thinking that we could really get the good out of these words this morning and invite y'all to sing along with us. We've been talking a lot about worshiping, and that when we're up here, we're not performing, that we're worshiping. They get nervous, I get nervous, but can do this. Is everybody in here can do this? You can. Okay. So I was thinking we could try that out this morning. And it's going to be okay. It will. It'll be okay. Try it out. Okay. Just try it out.
is awesome. Don't get no better than that right there. You know me, if I say too much, I'll start bawling, so I better just let Richard. We have a special request for Brother Richard to come up and sing a song that, you know, Cindy said to me a while ago. She said, Daddy, you're just glad to have hair this year that you could do a mohawk. And I will do that mohawk. And I will let Tommy Bruce cut it. And I will go one step farther. See, I'm not scared, Tommy. If you will go $3,500, I'll let you color it. Any color you want to color it, okay? But this song that Richard's about to sing is special to me because you all know, most of you know, it hadn't been that long ago that I stood up here and my head was like a peeled onion. And I couldn't even hardly get enough breath to wave my hands. There were days I stood here and thought I was going to pass out right in front of you. But the Lord saw me through it and he healed me. And that's what Brother Richard's going to sing for us this morning. So pray for him as he sings.
They carried him every day to that same temple gate where he would sit and beg, a hopeless man. Nobody ever thought he had a chance to walk. Oh, how they were wrong. God had a plan. Then one afternoon, two men came to the temple, bearing a gift. Told him to stand up, and soon he was leaping, shouting, I'm crippled no more, for I have been healed, I've been touched by his grace, and I felt its power, and now I am changed. There's one explanation, the God of creation has done a miracle in me. Let my story be known, let the truth be told. I have been healed.
How many of you this morning know that the great healer is still in the healing business? Amen.
She walked through town each day. She hanged her head in shame. People would look her way. Everyone knew her doctors had given up. 12 years was long enough. They tried, but there was nothing else they could do. Then one day when Jesus was passing through town, she touched just the edge of his robe. Now he asked, who touched me? At first she was silent, then trembling, she knelt and spoke. For I have been healed, I've been touched by his grace, and I felt his power, and now I am changed. There's one explanation, the God of creation has done a miracle in me. Let my story be known, let the truth be told. I have been healed. Oh, the power still flows from the great physician. I felt it before in my life. He's transformed my heart, my body, my soul. But some have explained it away. But I know I have been healed. I've been touched by his grace, and I felt his power, and now I am. There's one explanation. The God of creation has done a miracle in me. Let my story be known. Let the truth be told.
Thank you for that testimony this morning. It's not my time, it's God's time. And it's about Him, it's not about me. We want what God wants, okay? The young people, thank you for singing that song. That's one of my favorites, and I appreciate y'all getting up and singing that one. And I really enjoy church. Now, y'all thought I was going to say, I enjoy hearing the young people sing. Well, I do. I enjoy hearing the young people sing. I enjoy hearing the old people sing. I just enjoy coming to the house of the Lord. I enjoy God's Word. I enjoy Sunday school. I enjoy eating catfish. If you got your Bible this morning, 2 Kings chapter 5, it's a little bit different. Something I've wrestled with, I wrestle with the Lord. But something that's been on my heart this week, and I'm going to try to bring a thought, and the message title is Doing Your Part. Now, we want to talk a little bit about Naaman and Naaman's leprosy and the cure for it, but that's just the historical, biblical understanding. And then I want to talk about how that applies to us, and then I want to put some concluding thoughts on it. But the title this morning is Doing Your Part. Now, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I get a hold of something and I study on it a few days and I just enjoy studying it. Sometimes I get a hold of something and I try to talk the Lord out of it. I try to say things like, well, God, I don't know what I'm going to do with that. I don't know, Lord, what you're going to do with that. And then God, you know, He's in charge, not me. I was at work and I was walking around because, I mean, folks, I seek the Lord every day. The Lord's not just somebody I talk to on Sunday. I mean, when I get up on Monday morning, I'm praying that God will give me absolute confirmation of the next message I'm going to preach. And from one time to another that I preach, honestly, in my spirit, I'm seeking the Lord. Well, I'm at work, I'm walking around out there, and I'm seeking God, and this is on my mind. And I'm be honest with you, I'm praying God give me something else. And I turned around and looked, and on somebody's wall was a sign. And the sign said, dreams don't work unless you do. And God said, I told you what to do. So if you'll stand with me this morning, let's read in 2 Kings chapter 5. We're going to read a few verses. And you know what we want? We want what God wants. You know, it's foolish and futile for us to try to do things our way. We want what God wants. And, you know, if you don't want that, then you're fighting against something that you cannot prosper. Let's look into God's Word and let's read about Naaman. 2 Kings chapter 5, beginning in verse number 1, says, Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Says, And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel, And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, And am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, that thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith unto thee, Wash and be clean. Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again, likened to the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Now let us pray. Lord, thank you for the reading of your word, your precious word, and thank you, God, for what it reveals to us and teaches us. Now help us, God, in the remainder of this service that we'd be able to bring, Lord, exactly those things, Lord, those thoughts, those words that would be pleasing to you. Help us to learn from this scripture, God, and help us not only to hear it, but help us to apply it to our hearts and our minds. God, we give you all the honor and the glory for everything that's done before it's done, because we know that if it's going to be, it's because of you and through you. We praise you, we bow our heads to you, and we seek you because you are the only one and true God. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want to talk this morning about doing your part, but I want us to look just for a few minutes at this scripture and look at the historical review. Now, we read 14 verses, and, you know, maybe that's a little bit to read, but I had to read that to get the story, but I want you to see and understand a little bit about this man Naaman. You see, the scripture tells us that he was a great man, but he was a great man that had a big problem. You see, the scripture said that he was an honorable man. He was a man of valor. And it told about his victory in war and about how God had used him to deliver in battle. But if you read through that first verse we read and through those first passages, it said, but he was a leper. You see, he was a great man, but he had a very big problem. Now, this great man that had a big problem, he needed healing. He needed something to happen in his life that would change his life. And he needed healing very badly. Now, if you're familiar with leprosy, and there were a couple of types of leprosy during this time, but there's a type of leprosy that actually will devour the body. You know, I've heard stories of lepers that when a person has leprosy and it begins to eat away at the body, they get to the point that they cannot feel when someone touches them. If it gets in the eyes and the nose, it can actually stop them from having vision, even stop them from being able to hear. And could you imagine being in a position that you could not see and you could not hear and you could not feel someone touch you, but yet you were alive? And now, folks, that's almost like being dead but having breath in your lungs. And if you look at this great man and the greatness that he had a problem that was going to get worse and worse and worse if he did not get help. That's what leprosy is. It was a problem that eventually would have destroyed his greatness. Now, I want you to think about that for just a minute. If you're here and you might, you know, I believe everybody's got some kind of problem. We've all got things that we need to bring to the Lord. This man had a problem that no matter how great he was, his problem would have eventually destroyed his greatness. Now, you know, he had a little servant girl that was there in the house. And the little servant girl knew of the prophet Elisha. She said, "I wish to God that my Lord were there where the prophet could actually heal him." And you know, there was an ambassador sent, and he eventually is standing outside the door of the prophet's house. And as he stands there, he seeks help, he needs help, and he's standing there, and he has a certain expectation in his mind. And sometimes this is the way it is when people come into the house of the Lord. They have an expectation of what they expect or what they want to happen, but it doesn't always happen the way that we think that it should. So he's standing outside the door of the prophet's house, and the first thing that may have been insulting to him is the prophet did not even get up from where he was sitting and walk out and personally address Naaman. But what did he do? He sent a servant to go out and speak to him, and he didn't even address him himself, and he said, "Go wash in the muddiest, dirtiest river in the region and dip yourself 7 times. Now, here's what I want you to understand about Naaman. His expectations almost caused him to miss being healed. Because his expectations were already preset in his mind. And when he heard the words that were spoken to him, rather than immediately receiving them as a word from the Lord, he got mad. And he was very angry. And he rejected those words that were said to him. But thank the Lord for the servants. You see, he was redirected by the words of a servant. And you see that in the 13th verse. They said, you know, if he had asked you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? Now, I want you to understand something about Christianity right now. If people could buy their way into heaven, they'd be trying to do it right now. People would be putting money in the account. You know, they'd be doing everything they could to find a way. But something has already been done and paid for, and it's just like it's just too simple for people to receive it. You know, if he had been asked to do something great, the servant said, if he had asked you to do something great, wouldn't you have done it? And thankfully, Naaman went down to the river. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever had God deal with you in such a way that you just had to swallow your pride? You just had to get over yourself and just step forward and follow God. Why? Because there is no one else to follow. And here's Naaman. What's he going to lose? You see, he could turn around and go home mad. And guess what's going to happen when he looks down? There's going to be a little bit more of a finger gone. When he finds a reflection to look at, he's going to see that it's eat away a little bit more of his face. So what has he got to lose to go down to the river and dip himself? So he goes down and he goes under the first time. And he comes up. And I believe if it's like me, I tell you what, sometimes I'm looking for God to move like that. You know, I like for God to just jump on it, God, and just make it happen. But sometimes you just got to keep pressing on and believe that God is going to do what God said that he would do. And he goes down the second time. And then the third time, and eventually the seventh time, he comes up and he looks, and the scripture says that his skin is like the skin of a little child. Now, here's what I want you to understand. There's victory, there's rejoicing, but it only happened because Naaman did his part. You see, I want you to understand what kind of God we serve. We serve a God that can answer every prayer just like that. We serve a God that could conquer every battle that we face, that could solve every problem and move every mountain, but sometimes God wants you to do your part. And sometimes the reason things aren't happening is because people are not doing their part. Now I want to tell you how this message actually first began to be stirring on my heart. You know, I sat at home and with my two boys, when I come in at the end of the day, once the homework is done, here's the question they ask me. Daddy, what are we going to watch together? And you know, folks, I'm tired of Barney. I mean, y'all remember that? I thank the Lord that the video cassettes are a thing of the past. Okay? I've seen all the cartoons. So we try to find something that we can both watch. And we got this little movie called Where the Red Fern Grows. A response, I assume y'all know what I'm talking about. Now that's my kind of movie. It's got the country. It's got the mountains. It's got coon dogs. And I'm sitting there and, you know, we get this thing out and, you know, I've watched it many different times before. And it's never jumped on me this way. But you know, there's a little boy in this story that he wants some hunting dogs real, real bad. And he begins to seek and desire those hunting dogs so much that he was hurting. And one day he was having a conversation with his grandpa. And his grandpa talked to him about asking God for hunting dogs. And he said, you know, Grandpa, he said, I've asked God for these hunting dogs and it just doesn't seem like he hears me. And then he said, sometimes I feel like that maybe God doesn't want me to have any hunting dogs. And then his grandpa looks at him and he says, well, maybe the reason you don't have them is because you're not doing your part. And he didn't understand. He said, you know, he said, God could, and this is what he said to his grandson. He said, God could answer you that prayer and you'd have those hunting dogs just like that. He said, but that's not going to build character in you. You know what the little boy said? He said, just like you and I would. He said, I don't want character, I want hunting dogs. But what God wants to build in us is character and faith and virtue. And in order for us to have that, we have to do our part. The little boy went and he walked by the creek and he walked down through the woods and he got to thinking about what his grandpa meant. And he said it began to come realer and more real in his heart and his mind to understand what his part was. He said, I realized that my part was to do some work. And it was God's part to give me the heart and the courage and the determination to do that work. Now, if you know the rest of this story, I'll tell it to you real quickly. But this little boy went on a work detail. Every job he could get, he took it. He did his chores at home, but he worked until he was wore out, tired, saving pennies. And I'm talking about pennies, folks. He bought two hunting dogs for $40. We spend more than that on lunch. Okay, but we're not saving pennies. This little boy cleaned yards for pennies. He split firewood for pennies. He gathered eggs for pennies until he got enough to order those two hunting dogs. And when he was able to get them, he thanked God for giving him the strength to do his part. Now, as I sat there and watched that, and I'd already been studying about Naaman, God said, you're going to have to preach about doing your part. And now, folks, I want to tell you something. God has the ability and the power to do anything and everything that would be astonishing, absolutely, that your minds can't even comprehend. But what God wants to do more than anything else is build character and virtue and strength in you as a Christian, that you learn to trust Him and to follow Him and quit looking only at self. Because it's about Him. You see, we need to do our part. And here's our job. We must be willing. You know, the Scripture tells us and teaches that you must first have a willing mind. You've got to be willing. Okay, when God comes by and He speaks to you through His Holy Spirit, number two, you must be obedient. To obey is better than sacrifice. You need to be obedient to what God is leading you to do and then the direction that He is leading you to go in. And then you must be willing to follow direction. You know, a lot of people, and they just want to be in charge and do things their way. But what we ought to do is listen to what God is speaking to us and follow the direction of the Holy Spirit. You see, if we're willing and we're obedient and we follow direction, then we pray that God would give us the heart, the courage, the strength, and the determination to fulfill the work that He has for us to do and to succeed. You know, if you're going to do anything in this church, you got to have some heart. And you got to have some courage. And you've got to have some determination. Now, that's a couple of things that I want to talk about. If we look at it as a personal application, how do we succeed? Number one, you do not lose heart. Now, you think about that for just a minute. You say, well, I've been looking for this. I've been seeking for that. I've been looking for this to happen. I've been praying about this for years. Number one, are you doing your part? And if you are, don't lose heart, because I want you to understand what kind of God we're serving. Folks, He has no equal. He has no one that is as powerful as Him. No one that can do what He does. I was looking at heart and I thought about it. And I began to look and think about what that meant. And I thought about where it talks about in the Bible about being unctionized by the Holy Spirit. I thought about the zeal of the Lord. And I think heart is probably this. It's an unction or a zeal that motivates us towards an expected end. Now, folks, I'm thankful for the heart of this church. I really am. I was here yesterday, and we were getting ready to go on our little trip, and I looked over there underneath the pavilion. They had things spread out, and I said, what are y'all doing? They said, we're working on Bible school. And you know, I thought in my mind, I computed, that's 3 months away. They're excited about it. They've got heart, and they believe that God is going to do something at our Bible school. You know why we got a choir up here singing? Because somebody's excited about it. Because somebody has heart. Because somebody comes and works with them to teach them the songs and spend the time. That's why you have what you have. You've got to do your part. Got to have a heart. You got to ask God to give you the motivation to succeed. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I get tired. Sometimes I do, and I actually get down and I ask because my heart's desire is right and I'm looking for God to give me the strength that I need that I can do the things that He's called me to do. So number one, don't lose heart. And number two, take courage. If there's ever been a time that we're living in, Christians need to take courage. You know, it was mentioned this morning about what Franklin Graham has said, that there's a great storm coming. You know, we've got this Islam running wild all over the world. You know, people are joining that not because they're looking to follow God, but they're joining it for the same reason that people join gangs like MS-13 and the Bloods and the Crips, because they're rebels and they're rebellious and they have no cause or no drive or no motivation for life. Now, I know that's not common, that's not popular, and it's not politically correct, but I want to tell you there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And He has no equal. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, as Joshua began to lead the people, this is what he told them. He said, have not I commanded thee to be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now I want to stop and get you to understand something. The same God that led them as they crossed the river and they went into the promised land and they defeated their enemies and they marched around Jericho is the same God that we call on today. He's not lost any power and He wants to do something in your life. But He wants you to do your part. See, here's where taking courage is. It's taking the step. Taking the step. I heard a preacher preaching a verse of scripture out of the Old Testament. Where it says, the children are come to birth, but there is not strength to bring forth. And here's what he began to talk about. He talked about how they used to be when they would gather at the church. One time he remembered that they were going to pray for rain. And they were praying for rain because they were depending on rain for their crops. They were depending on rain for their livelihood. And he said, we agreed together down at the church. And he said, it was hot. And I looked, and here come one of the old brothers of the church. And he said he had on his rain boots. And he had on his raincoat. And he had an umbrella thrown over his shoulder. You know, sometimes we need to take courage. And we need to prepare for rain. And believe that God said that He would do what He said that He would do. But we have to do our part. You take the step. And you trust that God is going to be with you. Do you know this morning, if you're saved by the grace of God, even if you're not saved, God wants a relationship with you. But you are favored by God. And God loves you. You know, there are a lot of times my kids come to me and they ask for stuff. And they just like your kids. They already got too much stuff. Okay? But when I look at them, I love them and I want to give to them. I do. I mean, I got a teenage boy. He's not here this morning. He's gone to a true retreat with another church. But, you know, he's telling me he wants to drive so bad he can't stand it. He wants a truck. He wants a four-wheel drive, jacked up truck. Oh, he wants it like this boy wants these hunting dogs. You know what? I tell him, son, you got to do your part. I said, son, look at these grades. All these grades need to come up, son. You got to do your part. I say, son, look at your room. We can't get through it. We can't see the floor, son. You've got to do your part. You know, but I want you to know something. I want to give it to him. But I want him to be motivated in himself because I don't want him to be destroyed by being given everything in life and not have any character built in him. You know that God wants you to grow. You can't lose heart. You got to take courage. And sometimes you've got to gain strength. You see, because sometimes you're seeking God and you wanting God to do something and it's not happening fast enough. I'll tell you what you don't do. You don't quit on God. You got trouble, you don't quit on God. You have a problem, you don't quit on God. You lose your job, you don't quit on God. You got trouble in your home, you don't quit on God. Well, how do I gain strength? We gain strength by letting God's strength be our strength. You see, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, Paul, who wrote the majority of these letters in the New Testament, he tells us how he gained strength. He said, Paul said, speaking of the Lord, said, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now here's something that I understand, because, you know, I don't know about you, but me and my wife, we're as busy as we've ever been. I mean, I think, you know, you get older, it ought to slow down a little bit. It's not slowed down for us. Maybe it's because we've got a 9-year-old and a 14-year-old, you know, and we're busy with our children. We're busy with the world, with the church, with jobs, with everything, and we're seeking God. And sometimes the truth is you can get overwhelmed with having so much coming against you. And even though everything you're doing is the right thing, you can just get bogged down. And there are times when we have to call on the Lord that He'd give us strength, that He'd give us direction. And when I'm at my end, I have to ask Him to let His strength be mine. But did you hear what I said? When I'm at my end. You know why a lot of times people can't get strength is they never get to their end. They never get to the point that they're willing to hand it to God and say, Lord, I don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. We're trusting in you to help us. We're trusting you, Lord, to give us the strength. But you got to be willing to do that. You got to come to the point that you are calling on Him to give you His strength. And the last one is you got to be determined. You've got to be determined. You know, I heard a young man say recently, just a very young man, and he made this comment. Somebody was asking him, you know, about all of his girlfriends or dating this, that, and the other, and he said, he made this statement. He said, and this is from a 14-year-old. He said, I don't want to date a whole bunch of girls. He said, I want to date one girl that's the right girl and one day marry her. And I listen to that, and you don't hear that much. You know, how many times you hear people say, I don't want to be like the world. I just want to serve God and live for God and find what God wants me to do and be that. Well, you know, you look in the scripture and there's a story of a young man. Brother Larry preached on this. I wish I was here to hear it. I'm just going to give you one verse. But it's in Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 8. The scripture says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portions of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he did drink. You know, sometimes what you've got to do is be determined. You know, when I looked at that story of that little boy and he got out there and he started going and working, trying to raise the money for them dogs, they showed different scenes of him taking his little can. You ever remember saving money, putting it in a coffee can? Then he would pour it out on the bed and he would count his pennies. And he said, do you know what he said? He said, it just seems like that it would be just forever for me to ever get the money to buy those dogs. Like it would never happen. But if you just keep watching it, he was determined. He just kept going. He just kept believing. He just kept taking the steps. He kept asking God for courage. Sometimes you got to be determined. Here's the determination. I'm not going to be like the world. I'm not going to let the influences of this world keep me from being what God wants me to be. I'm not going to be like everybody else. And I said this to the youth when I spoke to them during D-Now. I heard a young girl say this one time when we were at Michael and she was in a youth group and she was talking to them. She said, you know, I have my friends all the time trying to push me to do this or do that. She said, but I told them. She said, it would be easy for me to be like you, but it would be harder for you to be like me. And see, what we need to be is we need to be determined. And we need to have the strength to go forward. But when we step forward and we're going to do our part, you got to keep going and keep trusting and keep marching, because God will reward you. Amen. He will. You know, here's a conclusion and something to think about. Just like Naaman, we all have problems. See, I may not have leprosy, but there may be somebody here, and I think we all can attest to this, that there are things in our life, if we let them go unchecked, they'll destroy your walk with God. Amen. They'll destroy your fellowship with God. You'll find it, you know, I just don't need to go to church this morning. Guess what happens? Next Sunday, it's a little bit easier. Sunday after that, it's a little bit easier. Do you get to the point, you're like a lot of folks, they think, well, I just don't need to go to church. I just don't need the Lord. When in reality, what's happened is that thing in your life that's hurt you, it's pulled on you, and it's begun to eat away at you like that leprosy till it's taken your life away from you and you don't even realize it. See, we all have problems, and we all need healing. We need healing. Where does the healing come from? It comes from the Lord. See, I can't do anything to help myself. There are times, I'll just be honest with you, there are times I'll be at work and I'll be having a rough day and I'll bow my head and I'll say, God, I need you to help me right now. When I tell you I've got verses on my wall at work, I do. People come in my office, they don't have to have me preach to them, they just look at the wall. And those are, you know why those are there? They're there for me. They're there for me. I need healing and I need help. And when I need help, I seek the Lord. I can't find it. Folks, the help I need, it's not in this world. You know, people look for it in all different kinds of things. It's not in a bottle. It's not in the medicine cabinet. It's not out in this world. It's not going to satisfy me. See, sometimes the problem is we want God to do things our way. Just like Naaman. But our expectations have got in the way of what God wants to do in our life, because we're not listening to what God's saying. See, God's given us some direction and he's trying to get us to understand what we're supposed to do, but we're not doing our part. You know, Jesus Christ has went to the cross and died for the sins of all mankind. And people come in and they hear that message time and time again, but you know what you've got to do? You've got to do your part. You know, when God speaks to your heart by the moving of the Holy Spirit, and if you look at this scripture in both instances, the servants represent the Spirit of God. And they begin to move and to direct, but you got to be willing to do what Naaman did. See, eventually, when he heard it and he was redirected, he had to be willing to get up and to take the steps and to go down to the river and to dip himself. And you've got to be willing to do your part. I don't know why God wanted me to preach this, but I believe, based on what I understand from the Holy Spirit, it's because somebody here this morning needed to hear, maybe you need to do your part. You see, we sit at home and we're mad at God and things just aren't happening like we want them, but we're not doing our part. You know, several months ago here, I think it was on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night, I preached on the word if. It keeps coming back in my heart and mind, and here's one that I kept thinking about as I studied this lesson, and I'm going to ask Brother Keith to come in with a song. If we will do our part, God will do his part. Did you get that? If. That one little word. If you will do your part, God will do His part. They're going to come and sing, and I'll ask you to stand to your feet. And I want to ask you this morning to look inside your heart. See, I believe God's calling somebody to do their part. It's what I want you to understand. God's already done enough to save the whole world. He has the power and the ability to solve every problem, to offer a solution to everything that's in your life. If you'll do your part, God will do His part. As they sing, the altars are open. Would you please just be obedient to the Lord as He speaks to you? If you'll come and pray, somebody else will pray with you as we sing.
Just as I am.
You know, a lot of people down here pray and talk to the Lord, and they're going to get something from God. There's times I've had to realize that I had to do something. It's like when they talked about having the meeting and they were going to pray for rain. One come prepared, he believed God was going to do something. You know, there's times in my life I've asked God to send something, and I've heard Him say, prepare for rain. You know, I spent a lot of time studying and preparing and going to school, not knowing if I would ever be able to pastor again. But you know what I did? I stepped out in faith, trusting God, that God was bigger than I was. He saw more than I did. Somebody here needs to step out in faith and trust God. Because if you sit right where you're at and don't move when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, guess what you're going to keep getting? You're going to keep getting the same thing you've been getting if you don't do your part. God's extending His mercy and He's speaking to somebody's heart as they sing one more verse.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse freely, because thy promise. Oh.
We're going to sing one more song this morning. We asked Mandy to sing Wonderful, Merciful Savior. We're going to do two things while she sings this song. The altars are still open. Of course, the altars of this church are always open. Okay, if I'm preaching, the altar's open. Enough people come, want to meet the Lord, God's moved, I'll quit preaching. I want to follow the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be doing my own thing. Okay? So we're going to leave the altars open. We're going to open the doors of the church too. She sings this song, you listen to it. You have a Savior that loves you. He's wonderful. He's merciful. He's our Redeemer. He's our friend. And what He wants to do is He wants to work in your life to make you, not to where nobody can recognize you, but make you the absolute best you that you can be. So as we sing this song, the altars are open. If you'd like to join this church by letter, by baptism, we'd love to have you. Go ahead. Thank you.
Precious Redeemer and friend, oh, what a fall that a lamb could rescue the souls of men. Oh, You rescue the souls of men. Counselor, we
serve a mighty Lord, mighty God.
Amen.
What He wants for you is what's best for you. God wants to bless you. He wants to love you. He wants you to, you know, sometimes, and I've talked to some of the older gentlemen here about this. You know, I'm older than I've ever been. You know, y'all are too. Sometimes I still feel like a little boy. Still in my mind. Things just happened just yesterday. You know what I feel like sometimes doing? Just getting up in God's arms. And letting Him comfort me, just like I do my boys. I want to tell you, my boys are my boys. They're mine. Just like yours are yours. You know, everybody loves. Wouldn't y'all like just put a picture of your kids up here? Everybody would think just the way you do about it. God loves you. And God wants to be a part of your life. And He wants to teach you. Amen. Thank you for being with us this morning. I thank God for moving the way He has. I want to ask Brother Billy if you would dismiss us in prayer. Don't forget to meet right over here in this room, deacons.